Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I'm literally scribbling notes and opening up old Montana Talks archived web stories from maybe even just a month or two ago as I listened to the music open up the show here this morning, because there are so many things that we can talk about here this hour of the show. I say can talk about because you never know what we're going to talk about. You never know what direction this show is going to go, because we have got the phone lines wide open for you. You can take this show in practically any direction. Just call 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. But we've also got John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us here this morning as well. And, John, I was pulling up a story. Did you see this back in mid-December? It was right before the holidays. Did you see when Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy shared this deal on X, the Marlboro Man versus the Weed Man? I don't know if you saw that one. It was hilarious.
I didn't. What was it?
So, well, you know the quote, hard times create strong men create good times. Well, he did a spinoff of that. And because apparently this was making the rounds, it was kind of going viral. Well, he shared an old school campaign photo featuring the Marlboro Man, and it was a post on X by an account called Cigarette Nostalgia, and it said this: hard times create nicotine men create good times create weed guys. Weed guys create hard times. We are here in life. Anyway, it was hysterical. And all the potheads got so triggered. They were so mad, you know, yelling at, well, not all of them, but some of them on X were mad at Tim Sheehy for sharing that. But I thought it was freaking hilarious.
Oh, it's 100%. And as a narcotics agent for many years, I can tell you that, boy, you always say that, you know, people that smoke weed don't do anything, right? And I'll tell you right up front, they don't. You know, they're not the people out here robbing and stealing and all that. But they don't do anything. And it's a lot like alcohol. If you're having some, you know, alcohol or weed on the weekends or whatever, a little party, that's fine. But when you get into the stuff where you're smoking weed every day, you're going to turn around and you're going to be 32 years old and you're still being a waiter in a restaurant somewhere, and you don't have a girlfriend or a wife or a family, and you haven't done anything with your life.
Wait, what's wrong with being a waiter in a restaurant? I got to disagree with you there. That's good money. I wouldn't mind going back to being a waiter in a restaurant, especially now with, you know, President Trump and the Republicans delivering no tax on tips. I mean, even better money now, thanks to the Republicans standing up for the working class folks. But the reason I wanted to pull up that story from back in December is Tim Sheehy now, in a new post on X, has a lit cigarette hanging out of his mouth as he burns a photograph of the terrorist leader of Tehran. This is kind of that's something that's going viral with the women in Iran in particular. Back right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's kick it off with one of your phone calls. We've got our friend Susan in Missoula on the phone lines right now. Susan, great to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Tuesday?
Well, for actually many, many weeks, and I don't even know how long, we have had a group of about 50 young people that are standing on footbridges and on roads and blocking people from going about their business. We have a footbridge that goes across Reserve Street that I use with my elderly dog. I've had leg surgery, and there's a limited number of places that I can walk. My doctor wants me to walk as much as possible, and I will go to the effort of going and parking and getting up to the bridge, and they are blocking the bridge, and it's a very narrow bridge. I'm sure you know which one it is.
Yeah.
It's a metal bridge. And it's only wide enough for a woman with a baby cart or a baby carriage or a bicycle or someone walking a dog. It's not wide enough. So when 50 people stand on the bridge screaming, it's very, very alarming. And they're also around town elsewhere. They were on the Madison Bridge throwing ice over into the Clark Fork River. And I don't know if it's happening around the state. Have you, has Billings been doing this or Bozeman?
Billings and Bozeman, they've had their share of these, the typical woke, white, angry leftists that are always banging their bongo drums. Because the other angle here, too, Susan, is like, what are they protesting now? What is it this week? Like, last week they wanted men and girls locker rooms. The week before they wanted Nicolai Maduro back in power, sending Tren de Aragua thugs to Montana. Now they're mad because they don't want ICE getting illegal aliens out of our country. It's like, what are they going to be out there for next week? Blocking your walkway again, right?
Yeah, well, and it's very alarming. And what is really alarming to me is the people in ICE are taking horrific criminals off our streets.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going on in Minneapolis is so sad because Minneapolis is one of my favorite cities. And I love Minneapolis. And I wouldn't go to Minneapolis anymore. I won't go to New York City, and I have a son that lives there.
I don't blame you.
There are so many thugs that are not being arrested because these sanctuary cities and states are not cooperating with ICE. And what is with these people's brains that they don't understand ICE is helping them from getting killed?
Yeah, I mean, rapists, murderers, sex offenders with sex offenses against children, sometimes male and female victims alike. It's absolutely insane. John Jackson and Susan, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John, this is a really a good phone call here from Susan because it's also a reminder of how obnoxious these protesters are. I mean, it's sickening those they will defend and those they will attack. But it reminds me of back in like 2020 when the George Floyd riots were the thing. And remember, like, you had young black moms in New York City just trying to take their kids to daycare, just trying to get to work, and they were being blocked by these angry, old, woke, white protester mobs, just like Susan in Missoula couldn't go across her footbridge.
Yeah, and whatever happened to the days, Aaron, that to do these kind of things, you had to have a permit and you had to schedule it, and it had to be in this area only, and you could not be blocking the traffic or blocking people's commerce or anything like that. Whatever happened to those days? And you know what? Like, particularly what's going on in some of these bigger blue cities out here, you are guaranteeing, you watch what's going on in Minneapolis and Portland and Seattle, you are guaranteeing that more people are going to get hurt and killed. Because you have 10 ramming incidents in a week, and you had two ICE shootings in 48 hours. This is going to get worse if these people don't stop. And they won't stop because they're being paid, and nobody in the bonded DOJ will stop that money.
Well, and the other thing I was going to point out here, too, is, okay, so imagine if you're that young black mom in New York, and you're just trying to get to work so you can put food on the table for your family. And you got this angry, woke, white mob of leftists blocking your way. But imagine if you try to cut through that mob with your vehicle and you accidentally bump one of these left-wing protesters. They would go mad over that. But yet, you know, they have one of their far leftist agitators deliberately try to run over an ICE officer. And, you know, it's just, again, it's the whole double standards thing again.
Yeah, and to that point, everybody needs to understand. Now, here in Montana, you don't have to deal with this, but if you're in a big blue city, one of these places, you know this stuff is happening all the time, you have got to be situationally aware at all times. And if you see ahead of you, always be watching. You see ahead of you, a couple hundred yards ahead of you, something like this is going on. You need to escape and evade. You need to get a U-turn, get out of there. Do not go up to one of these protest things, get caught in it, and now you've got to do something or something gets done to you, which is not going to end up good for anybody.
Yeah, especially in one of these, you know, blue cities run by the Democrat mob. I mean, they will go after the innocent. It's anarcho-tyranny. Anarchy for their lawless leftists or the criminals, but tyranny for you. You know they would make you the criminal, even if you're the victim. All right, we got Kurt in Shoto. Stand by. You'll be first up right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, John, you got to remind me. We got to get to this news story that's remarkably absent from the news in Montana. It's a news story involving court documents with Supreme Court Justice Lori McKinnon. This is a very big one that apparently is nobody in the media even jumped on this story when the court documents were released yesterday. She is scheduled to appear in justice court. Let me just give you the quick top line here. Jake Eaton shared this on X yesterday. Justice Lori McKinnon has pleaded not guilty in Broadwater County to charges of reckless endangerment of emergency personnel. This is a justice on the Montana Supreme Court. Jake Eaton added this. He says, sounds like alcohol was involved, but she was not charged with DUI. So we'll talk more about that here in a second. Let's go to Kurt in Shoto. Kurt, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. Hey, so I was listening to you on Friday when you were up in Malta.
Yeah.
And I tried to call in about all these protesters. So Saturday, after I listened to yours, we had them in Shoto.
Yeah, turn your radio down and then you won't get the feedback. I think you're probably getting some feedback there. Yeah, if you turn your radio down and then just talk with me over the phone, that'll help. Yeah,
All right, so you saw ICE in Shoto Saturday morning, surrounding our courthouse. Look like a bunch of idiots out there. But if they're interfering with, law enforcement, which ICE is, why aren't they not being charged with domestic terrorism or something? They interfere. It'd be the same as having your house start on fire. So you call the fire department and they show up, surround it, and don't let the fire department put your house out. It's no different.
That's a good analogy right there. Well, especially when they cross the line. I mean, they are going after some people and charging them with basically interfering with a, federal law enforcement officer. I apologize. The exact term is escaping me right here. But no, Kurt, great point. Hey, Kurt, real quick before I get John Jackson's take, he's a retired federal law enforcement officer, so can give us some good insight on this. But so even in Shoto, did you recognize any of the faces? Was it because I drove through Augusta and Shoto on the way to Cutbank last Thursday? And of course, beautiful drive, beautiful country. But even in Shoto, did it look like the paid protesters coming in from outside of Shoto, or was it your typical local, Democrat Party activists that were just doing whatever the party told them to do?
The Democrat ladies, whoever they are, that are in Shoto, I didn't see any of them. I've seen a few local faces out of about 40 that were there. And I worked at the local grocery store there for 10 years. I know everybody. And most of them weren't from there.
So these were likely outside paid agitators teaming up with a handful of the local Democrats. That's very interesting. All right, Kurt, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Yeah, John, your take.
Yeah, the only thing when they say when everything's a priority, nothing is a priority. And I think these people also risk fatigue, citizen fatigue with their BS. Because everything Orange Man does is bad, and everything we have to get out and screech about it, to the point I think where a lot of citizens out there now, they see these people on the side of their streets with their signs, and they're just ignored. Whereas 5 or 10 years ago, you might have thought to yourself, oh, wow, what's going on here? This is crazy. I have to find out what's happening. Nowadays, I think a lot of people just ignore it.
I think they do, but I hope that here in Montana, people don't ignore it. And even though they know that it's AstroTurf, that then the fake news media props it up. Like one of the headlines I saw was Billings anti-ICE protest reflects nationwide outcry. No, the Billings anti-ICE protest reflects nationwide AstroTurf, where they're where they want people to think that there's all of this outrage over ICE enforcing the law and defending themselves in the face of a threat to their lives, when there's not. I think this issue is exactly like the men and women's sports issue, where, you know, 70%, maybe even more, people are like, no, you shouldn't have men in girls' locker rooms. You shouldn't have boys taking away sports opportunities from girls. But the media and the Democrats on the left, they wanted to create this appearance that everybody believed, agreed with them and was on their side of the argument.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing history repeat itself right now in almost every way with the first Trump administration, the first Trump term, and that's what they're out here doing. It's activating their paid domestic terrorists, and then they create the lawlessness and the chaos, and then try to blame it on Trump. Look at all the chaos that Donald Trump has caused when it's them and all their criminal cohorts that are creating it.
I do want to go back to this Iran story. We've got audio of Senator Steve Daines talking about how this is the Berlin Wall moment for the Middle East. I'll get to that. I'm trying to get some more callers here. Maybe our producer, Caden, must have had to step out of the studio for a couple of minutes or something. So, because I got more callers that we want to get to here that are racked and stacked in the queue. But since I mentioned men and women's sports, big Supreme Court case is being heard right now. Attorney General Austin Knutson is back in Washington, D.C. yesterday. He is the chairman of the Republican Attorneys General Association. He and several other Republican attorneys general all had a big press conference basically standing up for women's sports. And, John, I don't know if you saw any of that. I've got a big story on our Montana Talks website right now. But these numbers were just astounding to me. These were some of the numbers that A.G. Knutson shared yesterday. Biological boys have stolen 1,558 wins, 5 national titles, 43 state championships, and 855-plus podium medals, including Olympic medals meant for biological girls. And yet, the Democrats act like, oh, this rarely happens. Come on, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that's the constant meme that we have out here on Twitter with everything. Everything that comes up is you know that thing that never happens? Yeah, it happened again. And they just quietly, little by little by little, cover it up, tell you it's not happening to where it gets to the point to where it's overwhelming you and you can't stop it anymore. That's the way they cover all of this leftist agenda crap.
What do you want to talk about? Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Let's find out what Annie in Billings wants to talk about. Annie, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning. I'm calling about the Quantica data center that's proposed to being built in Broadview. I've gotten some information from a couple different people that have sent to me that they want to use 450 million gallons of water per month to facilitate this data center. And so far, they haven't gone to the county commissioners So there's a couple meetings in our area. And so those natural resources that they're using is going to come from the whole area, not just from Broadview. So that's my concern. They bought the 5,000 acres in Broadview and kind of under the radar. And now they're proposing this huge data center. It also uses a ton of electricity, which supposedly will raise the rates for all of us in this area. So that's kind of scary in my opinion. What do you think, Aaron?
Well, I'll tell you what, we need to get somebody on this show to talk more details about that project in particular. And Annie, thanks for the call. What I would say is, I wonder if it came up. So before Christmas, we need to get State Senator Daniel Zolnikoff back on the show here, because we did a big conversation with him before Christmas talking about data centers, and he had a great line where he said, look, when it comes to data centers, he says the cost should not, you know, grandma should not be picking up the tab. The cost should not be put on the backs of grandma, right? Or any of us, frankly, right? Like, that basically, like, okay, if we're going to have data centers, they need to figure out a way to have the power already there, to add power into the grid, et cetera, so that it doesn't raise rates for consumers. John, I don't know if you saw this. I think I saw Kat in eastern Montana had shared Senator Tim Sheehy is in agreement with President Trump when it comes to the overall topic of data centers. Here's what President Trump shared yesterday on Truth Social. Under sleepy Joe Biden and the radical left Democrats, the average American household's monthly utility bills went up massively, over 30%. He added, I never want Americans to pay higher electricity bills because of data centers. And so he talked about how his team is working to not only get these data centers online, but to also do in a way to where, you know, the cost isn't borne by you, me, and grandma. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, my worry about this is that the Trump administration will do this, that they'll try to make this happen and keep this from bleeding over onto the consumer. But then the first time, you know, say Gavin Newsom gets in here in 28 and 32, and they will intentionally inflict it on the consumer. In other words, they will take away those protections that Trump put in, and we're going to get this anyway. I think it's a big problem.
Well, what I would, though, add is what President Trump has proven before, and his energy secretary pointed this out here recently, is that President Trump, in his first term, proved that you can both increase electricity demand, because when you boom the economy, there's more demand for electricity because there's more businesses with lights on, and you can lower electricity prices. So Trump's proven that they know how to do this. But I think with this data center concern, yeah, it's a big concern that everyday Montanans don't end up footing the bill for it. Okay, we've got a couple great callers on the line. And so I've got Perry in Columbus, Tom in Bozeman. But I'm going to get to Mary Heller first after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Enrollment for USDA's ARC and PLC programs will not open until after the 2026 planting season. That announcement comes as USDA readies a 61-page final rule implementing updates required by the One Big Beautiful Bill of 2025. Key changes include higher PLC reference prices, a 90% guaranteed level for ARC, and expanded base acre eligibility for farmers with historically non-program crops. USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Richard Fordyce said the delays are due to the Farm Service Agency workload and the complex nature of implementing the new federally mandated provisions. According to the rule, farmers will likely know their 2026 production and yields before enrolling in PLC and ARC, a significant shift in timing that could allow more informed decisions but may compress the planning window for each U.S. producer. At the same time, enrollment for the dairy margin coverage began on Monday, January 12th. For more information, contact your local USDA Service Center. In other news, the USDA released its January World Egg Supply and Demand Estimates Report, and the 2025-26 wheat outlook this month is for slightly larger supplies, lower domestic use, unchanged exports, and larger ending stocks. I'm Lane Norton.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a lot going on this week. We're trying to pack in a lot of content this week because next week, both John Jackson and I will be back in Las Vegas for the SHOT Show, the world's biggest gun and outdoor gear show. And we always get a chance to catch up with not only a bunch of great Montana businesses, gun companies, outdoor businesses, veterans, law enforcement veterans, you name it. But also there's always some really interesting high-profile folks that come in news, in politics, the podcasting realm that typically come down and join us on Radio Row as well. So that's going to be a ton of fun. So we're trying to pack a lot into this week. I want to get to Mary Heller here in just a second. She's got some interesting news to share with us for Central Montana. But first, let's sneak in a phone call here. We've got Tom in Bozeman on the line. Tom, what's going on?
Good morning, John and Aaron. You guys can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe it is a felony to conspire to commit a misdemeanor. And for these people who are being paid to block law enforcement, that happens to be a misdemeanor. However, because of the fact they're being paid by somebody, they and the person who is paying them are guilty of a conspiracy, a felony.
Well, I think that, yeah, Tom, thanks for the call. John, I think you could make that linkage to, remember when President Trump designated Antifa as a domestic terrorist group, and then President Trump has been pretty outspoken on this as well, you know, that not only do they want to go after the person that's throwing the brick, they want to go after the person that's buying the brick too, right?
Yeah, and that's what we've been calling for a year now, the people that are buying the bricks, and we can't get it to happen. And to the caller's point, I mean, that's a federal felony to obstruct, impede, interfere with federal officers doing their jobs. And unfortunately, there's so many of them, you're overwhelmed. And that's what happened that day with Renee Good. They had been tracking and harassing, following those agents all day long. And finally, when she pulled in front of them and was blocking their forward progress, blocking the road, that's when they had to deal with her.
All right. Well, before we get to, I mentioned we got such a busy lineup next week. We're trying to pack as much as we can here. And so when I heard this news from our friend Mary Heller, I was like, oh, we got to sneak Mary Heller on the show. And we'll get back to more of your phone calls here in just a couple of minutes as well. But definitely wanted to get Mary on the show this week, as busy of a week as it is, to give you folks a chance to hear what she's up to and what Turning Point USA is up to, or at least an arm of Turning Point USA. Let me get her on the phone lines here. One thing I did want to throw out there real quick is, you know, John and I were talking about this big Supreme Court case that's being heard right now. Well, Attorney General Austin Knutson is the chair of RAGA, the Republican Attorneys General Association. They have a big statement and had a press conference yesterday calling on the Supreme Court to protect women's sports. And earlier this morning, the Republican Governors Association have also put out a call calling on the Supreme Court to protect women's sports. And by the way, Governor Greg Gianforte is the chairman of the RGA. And so he just put out a statement, and I'm sharing it on X right now, x.com/Aaron Flint, if any of you want to go check that out later. Yeah, great to have our friend Mary Heller now with us. So, Mary, apparently you are the newly appointed chair for Turning Point USA. That's Charlie Kirk's organization. TPUSA Rise in Lewistown in North Central Montana. Tell our listeners about it, and great to have you on the show.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you so much for having me. And just so you know, I got married, so it's Mary Houghton now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Tell Mike I said hi. And sorry for you.
I will.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, but yeah, so thanks for having me. I do want to get your listeners educated of what we're up to because, of course, you know, since Charlie was assassinated, you probably know we've seen a very large growth of people wanting more, getting back to, you know, our faith, family, and freedom, the values that we hold dear in our culture. And you can imagine how crazy it was for TPUSA to get organized
recognized after that, you know, horrible assassination of an amazing man. We are now getting organized. We're getting our feet under us, and there's a variety of ways to get involved. So that's why I'm here. So yes, I am the newly appointed community chair for TPUSA Rise. For the Lewistown, North Central Montana region, and my area will mainly cover my hometown of Winifred down to Judith Gap on the south end and Winnet on the east over to Geyser on the west. That's going to be kind of my focused region, and then I'm working with others on our team. So people are probably wondering, what is TPUSA Rise, Turning Point USA Rise? So in a nutshell, we are an arm of TPUSA that is focused on strengthening Turning Point's mission of faith, family, and freedom with minorities. Minorities is not just skin color. It's, you know, women are minorities, Christians, sadly, we were in the minority group, low-income folks. And then I have a few other
rural
things,
folks
too.
Rural, you know,
folks, yeah. Absolutely. Montana, you know, we only get, you know, our three representatives to, or four now, I guess. With Troy Downing. Four now with Troy Downing in there. But, yeah, so it's... And really, when they asked me to do this, I stepped up to volunteer shortly after Charlie's assassination. We need this. And so when we talked about it, I said, you know, Montana is so large, you know, geographically, we are the fourth largest in the nation. And, you know, we do have those different groups in Montana, but I think we need to focus on just the whole state being united.
That's right.
And our regional coordinator totally agreed. She's an amazing gal. She's out of actually Las Vegas, but I work very close with her. And she's absolutely, so she's like, you organize your state how you see fit. And just go forth and lead with purpose. So that's what we're doing.
Well,
that's
I know you got a big meeting coming up this weekend in Lewistown.
Yeah.
So stand by, because I want to come back to you about that. And then you've got something there that you're looking to do in the Billings area soon as well. John, I want to go back to just John Jackson, loop him in on this conversation as well. John, I was so excited to see Mary's email about this TPUSA Rise, because, John, did you notice over the you probably talked about this while you were on the radio over the Christmas break, over the holidays, Time Magazine, what did they do? They put together, like, the top people in the news in 2025. What was one of the biggest stories last year? The assassination of the late, great Charlie Kirk. Time Magazine completely left Charlie Kirk out of that issue. And I think it's deliberate. It's because they want you to forget about Charlie Kirk. They want young people in particular to forget about Charlie Kirk. They want the left to run the narrative heading into the midterm elections. And that's why we need to make sure that we never forget Charlie Kirk. And by the way, it's up to us. It's up to you young people out there to make sure that they never forget Charlie Kirk either, because you will show up this November to remind them. Anyway, John, that's my rant.
Yeah, and the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I think, was the pinnacle of all of this leftist violence. And it's particularly leftist violence involving the LGBTQ community. They are the ones that have been the most radicalized and the most associated with all of this for at least the past year under Donald Trump's presidency. And obviously, people are out there not only pouring poison into their ears, but paying them to do it as well. And it's got to stop before more people are hurt or killed.
That's right. Well said. Back to Mary Heller Houghton. Mary, you've got a meeting, what, Saturday the 17th in Lewistown?
Yeah.
And then another one in the works for Billings, right?
Yes. So, yeah, and I just, you know, everything that you just said, John and Aaron, absolutely. You know, that's why we're focused on getting this really organized in Montana as a whole. And so we, with TPUSA Rise, we're going to coordinate with TPUSA Faith, which is another arm of Turning Point. All college campuses, high school groups, legislators, businesses, community members to carry out this mission. We are picking up Charlie's mic, and we're going to get this really going for the state. So we've got our feet under us, and we're rocking and rolling.
How do people get a hold of you? We got 20 seconds before the break. How do they get a hold of you?
Okay. I got a couple of meetings coming up, one this Saturday in Lewistown, and then, yes, we're working on hopefully February 7th for one in Billings. We are also working on getting a Montana Fest set for late summer, early nice. Fall. So people can reach out to me. My number is 406-399-0640. They can also email me, Mary, M-A-R-Y, _ Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R.
I got to hold it there. We got to hit the heartbreak. But I'll...
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I'm hoping that Caden is going to send me Perry in Columbus. I see we got Perry in Columbus next up on the phone lines. Hey, so real quick, I know phone numbers can be hard to remember, email addresses. You know, a lot of you aren't sitting there with a pen and paper or prepared a copy. This is the easiest thing, I think, for you to do. Go on Facebook and just search Turning Point USA Rise Montana. Turning Point USA Rise Montana, like sunrise. Turning Point USA Rise Montana on Facebook. And, yeah, big thanks to Mary for joining us. All right, we got Perry in Columbus on the phone lines. Perry, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Well, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, John. You know, that is a very important message from Mary at TPUSA Rise. And I'll throw in a quick quote from Benjamin Franklin: we must all hang together, or most assuredly we will all hang separately. So it is important, get hooked up. You know, we got to stand together, and that's the reason for my call today. Is with all of the magnitude of the assaults that we're under from the radical Islamist communist left, look around, everything from judges to, you know, protests in the street to trying to kill ICE agents to everything else that's going on. The only person, the first person who's really been willing to take the gloves off with these people, and that's all they understand, is Donald Trump. And he's got people behind him that are fully on board with it. You've got Kristi Noem, Pete Hegseth, Tom Holman. A lot of his cabinet is all 100% on board with this. But sadly, I have to take a page from John Jackson's book and say I try not to judge too quickly, but I think Pam Bondi just doesn't have the cojones for what she has to do. And it's sad, but I think maybe she needs to be gone.
Well, Trump says she does. Trump's standing by her, but I think a lot of it too is just the frustration with our judicial system and how slow the process always is, because you got to have your T's crossed, your I's dotted, everything, and the process just takes forever. I mean, just look even at court cases here in Montana, and you're like, wait, so-and-so finally got sentenced? Didn't that case go back 5 years ago? What the heck? Whatever happened to fair and speedy, right? Right. But I also think it's good that we raise those questions so we keep their feet to the fire as well. Perry, great to hear from you. John, what story did we not get to yet that you want to throw out there?
Well, breaking news. We were talking about Iran and the protests, and Donald Trump put out over Truth Social just an hour ago, and he said, keep protesting, guys, people in Iran, and help is on the way, in capital letters. I just hope we haven't missed the critical window for these people fighting for their freedom in Iran, and for once and for all to do away with this terrorist regime that has terrorized the world for the last 50-some years.
Well said. And by the way, that reminds me, this is Senator Steve Daines. I think he was on Fox Business talking about this very topic.
Larry, let's be clear. The Iranian people will drive the regime change regardless of any action taken by the United States.
Right.
This is a Berlin Wall moment for the Middle East. If you're 45 years old or younger, you've only grown up knowing there's been an Ayatollah in charge in Iran. Mm. But I'm old enough to remember, you are as well, Larry, that we used to have Iran as an ally of the United States. The Iranians were helping us in the Middle East. They were helping us push back on then the Soviet influence in the Middle East. This is a remarkable moment. And by the way, it's not by accident. It's been very intentional because of great leaders like President Trump and Bibi Netanyahu with clarity, been very decisive. They understand what it takes here to restore true peace and prosperity in the Middle East.
All right. Great points there by Senator Steve Daines. John, I think he is spot on, exactly right. Look, there's no way the world would be in this moment if it wasn't for a president like Donald J. Trump. I mean, the ouster of Nicolai Maduro is playing huge into this.
Oh, big time. And you couple that with the bombing of the Iranian nuclear sites, which made all of the leaders over there look weak in the face of United States power. Put that all together, and that's what caused this.
All right, let me see here. I know we're just about out of time. I got a chance in John, thanks so much for being with us here on this show. Let me see. I got a chance to speak with Attorney General Austin Knutson earlier this morning, where he is at the Supreme Court for this big case to protect women's sports. Here's part of what he had to say.
Yeah, well, this is a big deal for us, Aaron. So first of all, I'm the chair of the Republican Attorney General's Association, and this is one of our flagship pieces of litigation. So back in 2021, the Montana legislature passed the Save Women's Sports Act, and that's just what it sounds like. You know, we talked about this a lot during the Joe Biden administration. I think everyone maybe thought this went away, but I'm here to tell you it has not. What happened in almost every state that passed legislation like this, and Montana was no different, the state ended up getting sued. You know, common sense stuff where we say boys are boys, girls are girls, and we're not going to let boys compete in girl sports. That's actually in federal law. Title IX of the Civil Rights Act actually makes this very clear. Biological sex is a defined thing. We have created a segment of sports for women and girls. That was to encourage scholarships.
All right, there we go. That was just part of what Attorney General Austin Knutson had to say. Full story, go to MontanaTalks.com. Montana's AG protecting women's sports. And a recap, a preview of today's Supreme Court hearing.